Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Second Samuel. We continue to speak about how to bring the peace of God in our midst and how to bring God's presence in our midst, how to bring ourselves into God's presence, and how to bring ourselves into the midst of God's will. Today the scriptures that we are going to discuss, that Christian life is not stagnant or passive, but we need to move with God where He wants us to move. Certain times the church or individuals or families are off-center. Either they are lag behind or side behind or forward ahead, and God will do certain things, certain events He allowed to come into our life to make us go back to the railway that He had already ordained for us. In the book of 2 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 1 to verse 14, it speaks about famine, where no food, no enough income, no resources, and King David was baffled about the situation. He had to come out of it. And let us read it, and we see how we can relate this into our life. The scriptures God allow us to fall into our hands in order to teach us how to live. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 14. Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you? And they answered the king, The man that consume us and that devise against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the two sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Ea, whom she bare unto Saul, Armonia and Mephibosheth, and the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite. And he delivered them into the hands of the Jebusites, and they hung them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the earth, of the air, to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aya, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, from the men of Jabesh Gilead, which had stolen them from the city of Bethshan, where the Philistine had hung them. When the Philistine had slain Saul in Gilgua, and he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan, his son, buried they in the country of Benjamin, in Zila, in the sepulchre of Kish, his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, anoint my lips and let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Anoint the message of God and put verses and statement. Let everyone understand your will. Let questions be answered. Let solutions given. Let heart be melted before your word and the power of the Holy Spirit. Let your presence rule and reign in each and everyone's heart and life. Take the message beyond the world and make it reach those who are in need to hear this word of yours. I pray, O God, for restoration. I pray for salvation of souls. I pray for help. I pray that dryness and famine will move away as your people. O God, will stand firm and do the very will of yours. O God, we thank and we praise you. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Seeking the Lord and inquiring of the Lord. David started to inquire of God. Which time he started? It say when the famine lasted 3 years. First year, okay, famine. Maybe this year. Next year will be better. Next year coming, again there is famine. Third year come, also there is famine. So he start to ask the Lord, Lord, why there is famine? You must be aware that certain problem in your life is a way of God to let you seek His will and His face. There are certain things that God allows into your life, and it is continuous because God wants you to seek His will. And maybe that problem, that issue in your life, is a way for God to let you pay attention and on certain things had been done wrong and need to be corrected. I mean, the second point here is that seeking the will of God or to inquire of God to bring the peace of God back to life, to bring the blessing back to God, it is not a short-term process. Not that, you know, pray for me and give me Bible study 2 weeks and after that my life is fixed. No. Seeking the face of God is a long process, and also you need not only long process, that you need to be a person who is willing to give commitment and to be dedicated to what God is going to tell to you. Lord, I'm willing to follow you. Okay. Start to follow God, and then there's hardship, trial. There's sometimes there's no highway, there's not a way. Yeah, there are no cemented way, but there is all holes and up and down trials. That as we have read in the story. David seek the face of the Lord, inquire of God why this happened, and God revealed to him why the cause of all that and how he will correct it. And we will go now step by step. We will see how it was so hard requirement that David needed to fulfill for the Lord. We need to be humble before God. God will reveal to us His will. God will show us where is the defect. If we are willing to go along the term and condition of God. You know, I tell you the truth. Certain time I know the problem. And I am aware of what God wants. But the Lord would not allow me to speak it directly, because certain times the people are not willing to even to listen. Have you got the point here? But 3 years of famine had melted the heart of David, and now he really needed to go on through it to solve it. Certain time our problems that we pass through, it's like slow cooking. It makes us ripe to the solutions of God that is going to give us. The Word of God tells us that He guides the humble in what is right and teaching them His ways. As we humble ourselves, as the trial and hardship humble us, then we find ourselves yielding to the solutions of God. God revealed His will to David, and He told him the famine because of the house of Saul and his bloody house. What Saul did, Saul, in his zeal to the Israelites, you have heard about the Gibeonites, right? The Gibeonites are not Israelites. They make a certain story, as we know it in the book of Joshua chapter 9. They came to Joshua and they told him, "We are not from this land," so that he will spare them, and they make a treaty with Joshua. They deceive Joshua, they deceive the Israelites, they deceive the elder. But after they discover it, they have already a covenant with them. Joshua put the judgment of God. He told them, "Since you deceive us, you must be willing to accept the consequence of your wrongdoing." What was the consequence? All your life will follow what we follow, but you will be water carrier and wood cutter in the house of my Lord. The Jovianites comply with this condition. When Saul came to the leadership, the Jovianites, they were in faith, the same faith with the people of God. They were not doing anything wrong. When Saul annihilated them because of what they did in the past, not because of the present sin they have, that was shedding unnecessarily blood. Have you get the point here? When Saul did it, that blood need to be atoned. That sin, now we know that every sin this time is atoned by the blood of Jesus who died on the cross for our sin. But we need to bear the consequences of our sin. Now, if the Gibeonites, they went back to idol worship and betrayed their covenant with the Lord, or did something contradict, Saul has the right to annihilate them and God will be with him. But since he annihilated them, while they did not do offense, that was considered a sin and need to be atoned. Now, who is the leader? David. Saul did. Why you are bringing all the story? And yes, it's an odd story. But God want to bring justice back because what Saul did in the past had brought certain injustice over certain people inside the kingdom of God. Now, what is the fault of David? Is he having any fault? He has no fault. But he is called by God to correct certain situation because that linked with the testimony of the Lord. Have you got the point? They will ask the people, why the Jubilees were killed, but did not do anything, and God did nothing about it. Have you got the point? When Jesus said, let your light shine before men, so that they will see your good work and praise your Father in heaven. When the church allow wrongdoing and injustice and sin not dealt with or punished properly, and discipline and corrected, and people taking their right, what's due for them, then God's testimony is in danger. And for this reason, he sent a famine to make the people of God get attention of what they needed to be corrected. Bible has many famines. And every famine, there's a reason. And the church should know why God allows such things to happen. Certain sin in the past done by some people before, God might, and he will call us, call you, call me, call his church today accountable to correct what had happened. David, he called the Gibeonites. They told him, tell me what is the problem. They told him the story, Saul, what God told him. They confirm it. They told him, we can't get gold or silver. We cannot also ask life of people. They must be happy. They must be satisfied. So David asked them, what do you want me to do? They told him, the man who want to annihilate us and wipe us from the presence with the people of God, let his family also suffer the same. Give us 7 men to hang them and we'll be satisfied. Now, I'm not speaking about killing or executing people. I'm speaking about how to bring God's presence again in our midst and God's presence to come to be restored and the reign of the Holy Spirit and the blessing of God and the restoration of the plan of God into our life. Now, David to do such things that he need to hand over seven men. Now, it mentioned here that he spared Mephibosheth. Verse 7. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, because between him and Jonathan there were a covenant of blood between them. He spared him. But he took seven other men. He took the two sons of Rizba, the daughter of Aiah, that was the concubine of Saul, and she has two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth. And he took the five sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Mehoathite. Now, when you read this one, what comes to your mind? I'm going to speak about Michal. Michal is the first wife for King David. And Saul gave him this woman in order to put him to death, one way or another. He told him, you go get 100 foreskins for the Philistines, kill them, then that is the dowry for her, then I will give her to you. He said, if he will go to do that, he will die. He did not die. He married her. After marriage, Saul after him to kill him. He ran away. When he ran away, Saul gave Michal to that man that we have read here. And that man had five children from her. But that's not all the story. That's not all the story. Will you just go to 2 Samuel chapter 3. Now it is easy for David to say, okay, Rizpa, two sons there we can give. How about Michal? Oh, Michal, she married another man. Let her five children also go, no? Let us read 2 Samuel chapter 3. You know, when Jesus said, remember Lot's wife, go and dig in the scripture and see. When he said that, in the time of Elijah, there were many widows in Israel. But God sent him only to the widow of Zarephath. Go and dig the scripture and understand what's going on. To understand life, you need to dig the scriptures. I will tell you now the story, then you will understand. What David did for God in order to bring God's presence and peace and blessing back to him. 2 Samuel chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, when Abner went to David to make a league with him to bring the Israelite under him, he told him, and he said, well, I will make a league with thee, but one thing I require of thee, that is, thou shalt not see my face, except thou first bring Michal, Saul's daughter, when thou comest to see my face. And David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, Saul's son, saying, deliver me my wife Michal, which I espoused to me, for an hundred foreskin of the Philistines. David required her back. and chapter 6 about Michal. So now, where is Michal? With David, and God told him that you have to give her 5 sons to be killed, and she is his wife in his house. What? Any one of us can do it? What the wife will do? Fighting the good fight. Take the 5 idols from her life. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, scripture must be fulfilled. Second Samuel chapter 6. When David brought the Ark of God, and as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And verse 20, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants as one of the vain fellows, shamelessly uncovered himself. In verse 21, and David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord. Verse 22, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be base in my own sight, and of the maid servants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. And verse 23, therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. And now time come, in 2 Samuel chapter 21, that the 5 sons that she had born to other men need to be executed. Now see here, David was in the corner. There's a famine. God is happy. God was happy. God was angry. And then here there's a big tiger. Michal and Rizba, and you have to do something. You just imagine if you are at the time of David and you hear the story, David did like this. What do you think about him? Is he a bad man or a good man? He's very bad. He's cruel. Why he did it? Because of famine? No. He did it because he wanted to please God. That is what the Lord say about David in Acts chapter 33. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Sometimes when we read the scriptures, we take it lightly, but go dig into the scriptures and see what David passed through. His own blood and flesh. He needed to cut out. And when he had removed the him, he raised up unto him and to them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God wanted David to fulfill all his will. Did David do it or no? Yes, he did it. He did it. Seeking the face of God, seeking the will of God, in the choir of the Lord. It needs of us to be ready. Trials and hardship and famines and struggles make us go prepared through the narrow way and the narrow gate. The meaning of Saul is desired. The meaning of David is beloved. The meaning of Jonathan, Jehovah has given. The meaning of Rizba, pavement, the ground. Harmony, her son, the meaning of it, one of the palace. Mephibosheth, the meaning of this name, extermination of the idol. The meaning of Michal, who is like God. And the meaning of Gilead, the man of Gilead who came and took the body of Saul and Jonathan, is the rocky region. When David handed over the seven men to the Gibeon, they put them to death, they hung them, and they was there. Rizba was washing over the dead body. What she was doing there? She did not leave the dead bodies. Why? She was guarding them. Why she was doing that? Maybe emotion, right? Maybe because she does not want to leave them. You know, when a person died and his body exposed, the bird of the air, the birds of the air will come, and the beast of the earth also will come. Now they kept them hung, and David allowed them to be kept hung until the rain come, to please the Lord. What Rizba did, she was not allowing the birds of the air to come to them. What the birds will come and do? What they will peck? Not the flesh. What they like to eat? Not the flesh. What they will like to eat first? They like to eat the eyes. And you know the Bible say about that in a proverb. Scripture must be fulfilled. When Jesus died, no one of his bone was broken, because the scripture said none of his bone to be broken. Now, according to the scriptures, in Proverbs, chapter 30 and verse 17, you know, in the book of Jeremiah, when he say, I will let their flesh to the bird of the air and to the beast of the earth. When they die because of their own sin, God will allow the bird will come to peck the eyes, and the beast of the earth will eat the flesh. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17 say, the eye that mocketh at his father and despises to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. When criminals die because of their sin, trace the sin even from childhood, they are disobedient to their parents. And doesn't continue. God allowed them to be killed or hanged, and that scripture will be fulfilled. But those who die, it is not their sin, it was the sin of their father Saul. So God did not allow their eyes to be picked out or their flesh to be eaten by the animal. He was using Rizpah to do the will of God. You see how God watched over the scriptures to be fulfilled. You know, Jesus and the Word become flesh. That's the Word. This Word of God enriches us. You want to be a Mikal? Huh? You want to be like Saul? You want to be naughty? God will watch over His Word to be fulfilled. The Scriptures, we preach the Scriptures to impart the fear of the Lord in our lives, to honor Him, to fear Him more than any man or power. And when that happened, God was pleased. The rain came. And David, when he hear about Rizpah protecting the bodies, he come to know that confirmation that they are not the one who sinned. Saul was sinning, but that is the sin of the parents go to the children. Justice of God must be fulfilled. What he did, he went, he took the bones of Saul and Jonathan, he took the seven men and buried them in the sepulchre of the father of Saul in Kish, in Kish sepulchre. And God answered a prayer and supplication for the land. You see, God would bless us. We need to go through a process of making God happy with us. Injustice is one of the sins that the church is not dealing with. Certain time God, He called the past. He wants to correct things because His testimony is affected, and we need to go along the theme and condition of God. And if we're going to read to the end of chapter 21 in 2 Samuel, we can read the following. All scripture linked together. There's a reason why it is written. When we go to verse 15, say that, moreover, the Philistine had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistine, and David was faint, and Ishbi Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the way of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of a brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Why David was faint, weak? 3 year famine And see, he was able to overcome, and God not allowed for him to die. Why? The Bible says, but Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him and smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swore unto him, saying, thou shalt go no more out with us to battle. Thou shalt quench not the light of Israel. God not allowed to die because he did right. Can we get the point here? We don't depend on our physical strength to fight the battle. We depend on God's power. We depend on the Holy Spirit. But we do what God wants us to do. To let the battle go on. So here there was stagnation. Before David do God's will, there was stagnation. But when he did God's will and dealt with sin, God allowed that giant to be slain. In verse 18, another giant was slain. Another bigger problem was solved. Another enemy was put to nil. Verse 18, and it came to pass after this that there was again a battle and with the Philistine at Job. Then Sibekai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which was of the sons of the giant. Another giant was slain. And there was again a battle in Gob with the Philistine, where Elhanan, the son of Jair, or Ijim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite. The brother of Goliath was, after David did right, was killed. Hallelujah. That's why God encourages us today to do what is His will, even if it is painful. The staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Verse 20. And there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature that had on every hand 6 fingers, on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. And when he defied Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimei, the brother of David, slew him. Amen. Another giant was killed. There these 4 were born to the giant in Gath, and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. See how the narrator of the scriptures, how he brings the victories after the people of God do his will in full. In chapter 22, and David spake unto the Lord the words of this song. He praised the Lord after he did his will, and God's blessing brought back to their midst. Our leader Jesus Christ dealt with sin on the cross, and we are after him to proclaim his word and to proclaim his will and to proclaim his justice and righteousness. Let's stand. Let us sing to the Lord. When we sang, draw me near your presence, O God, you know, we will not be drawn near by instrument and music only. We need to say things right, correct things. Scripture must be precept upon precept, statute upon statute. Need to be fulfilled so the blessing of God will flow. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Continue to speak to us, to your church. God, you make it clear to us that you are the head of the church. Oh God, all of us, we carry feelings and emotions But at the end of the day, you are the only person that you need to be praised and pleased with what's going on. Help us, O God, to overcome. Deliver us from the evil one. I pray, O God, that you'll do your will as David, a man after God's own heart, that you'll do whatever you ask of us. Give us, O God, perseverance. Give your workers, your church, perseverance. The stamina to go through it, O God. I pray how Rizba and Mikal and all of them went through it to do your will. Help us, O God. All of us will come to you with a glad, sincere heart, with a gratitude in our heart toward you. Whatever trials or losses or justice of yours, help us, O God, so that the victory, O Lord, and your blessing will flow in our midst. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, O God. We magnify your name, O God. Father God, I come into your presence with all my heart. Thank you for this night you gave us. Thank you for your word. Let be, O God, the fruit of righteousness handed forth. Let your message flow through us to reach others, to bring them to your presence, O God, to bring new souls to harvest people with the gospel of Christ our Lord. We thank you, God. We bless you. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm so that we are not fitting. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Mm-hmm.